We're going to go to the Word of the Lord here, and we're going to look at a portion of Scripture that is misunderstood frequently by a lot of, I don't even know if they're well-intending, but they're by a lot of different people when they try to take this particular Scripture out of context. And the Scripture that we're looking at is when Jesus says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, I'm going to ask the question. Has anybody here ever asked for something and didn't get it? What a surprise. And so what happens is there's a lot of misinformation about Scriptures like this, and we're going to be covering that, but we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to give you something here this morning that I really hesitated to even say it in this way. I'm going to explain the reason why I hesitated. Back when I was in Bible college, and I say back, and you know, I wish that it was just yesterday, but it seems like it's been a long time ago now. And back when I was in Bible college, there was a class offered in the school, and when I saw the offering for that year, I got quite excited about it. It was to cover the book of Psalms, and I love the book of Psalms. And so I went really anticipating great things in this class. And the very first day of class, the teacher got up and basically said, and I'm paraphrasing because it has been more than since yesterday, but basically said, we're going to analyze the Psalms to discover how it is that the psalmist got what they wanted so that we could follow the same pattern and have the same results. Basically, the teacher got up and said, I'm going to give you by the end of this class a recipe that if you follow it, you could always get what you want from God. And I was so offended with that first class. I never even gave them a chance to correct my misunderstanding if I misunderstood. I dropped the class because I wasn't about to try to follow some sort of a recipe. But I am going to give you, because this Scripture is true. How many know that God's Scripture is always true? All right, so therefore, our interpretation must be flawed if we've asked for things and didn't get them. We have to understand what's happening here. And I'm going to give you, and I'll use the same word that I just really didn't want to use. I'm going to give you the recipe. All right? And I'm going to ask that you hear me out. It's not going to be multiple days throughout a whole semester to be able to figure it out. We're going to cover this just today. But you know what? There's a lot of things that we ask for in our lives. And the things that we ask for reveal a great deal about our heart and our character. We just came through Christmas, and I had a certain group of people in my life that were very specific about what they wanted for Christmas. Maybe you have people like that in your life as well. And they're all different because they have different likes, different hobbies, different passions, if you will. And so everybody, according to who they are, was asking for certain things. And there are believers, and there's and we can just label it what it is, a false teaching, a false doctrine going around about prosperity. And they claim these scriptures like this, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And so they're asking for God to deposit $1 million into their account. They're asking for any number of different things. And then, like you could have just raised your hand, are shocked when the deposit isn't made. They say, I asked. And so they come along, and the preacher in that case says, well, you didn't do it with faith, and you need to give a seed offering. You know how those concepts go, right? And trying to manipulate the situation so that the person thinks that if they just do it in the right way, if they just ask in the correct manner, they're going to get what they were asking for. But we need to understand that what we are asking for, and when we ask for something and we're asking God, when my grandchildren asked me for something for Christmas, it was their Christmas list, right? But when we ask something from God, we call it a prayer. Right? And so we are going to be talking about prayer this morning, and we're going to be asking, what are you praying for this year? And so let's go to the text that this scripture is found in. We were reading it this last week. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And I'm not going to read just the verse, because that's the problem with a lot of other false teachings out there. They take a verse and they take it right out of the beautiful context that it's found in. Without giving you the context, they say this is how it applies, and they mislead you into fictitious beliefs. And so let's read it in its context. And so we're going to read quite a bit of scripture from verse 5 all the way to verse 14. And it says, Jesus talking here, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, the very beginning of us understanding the context, we need to say, is us remaining in Jesus and bearing fruit. All right? So here's the context. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. There's the verse, right? And I will be, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, notice again the statement. What you're asking for and receiving is going to be for the Father's glory. We're going to get through all of this in just a moment, right? And it's for us to bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, who lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. So here's the context. There's a lot of context to be talked about here with remaining in him, bringing glory, bearing fruit, and obeying. All of these are part and parcel to us understanding what Jesus is saying here. And if we understand it by the end of today, I guarantee you 100% of your prayers will be answered and you will get what you're praying for. How many think that sounds like a great deal? We want that, right? Okay. So Jesus is encouraging us to ask, but again, the context is first in saying that we're remaining in him. We keep in step with him. We do what he wants. Now, you could say, you know what? Pastor, I understand that. That's why I told God that if he deposited that $1 million into my account, I would tithe. There's all kinds of ways that we try to rationalize the context here into being something that is not. And you say, well, God would get the glory because aside from tithing, I would even support missionaries, right? There's all kinds of things that happen. But Jesus actually is saying here that giving us what we ask for, and he phrases it like this, that he's going to have joy and he's going to give us joy that's complete. In other words, what we are going to be asking for is going to make God joyful. Could you imagine that? That is what Jesus is saying. When you ask for something that God gets really joyful about, you are guaranteed that you're going to get it. I'm going to give you an example, and it's not the example that we're going to be following here today with context here that we'll understand what we could ask for, but it's an example from the Old Testament. There's a king in the Old Testament that one night while sleeping, God comes to him, and he basically says to this king, you can ask whatever you want, and I'll give it. The king's name was Solomon, right? And Solomon, you know the answer. He says that he's inexperienced, he's a young person, the nation is plentiful and a lot of people to give him wisdom. And God is so blessed. He says, because you asked for that, and not what everyone else wants. You didn't ask for a long life, the death of your enemies. You didn't ask for great riches. You didn't ask for anything that everybody else asked for. I'm going to give you what you asked for, to a point where nobody before you has ever been as smart or as wise as you are, and there will never be another afterwards. That's how much I'm going to bless. I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm also going to give you what you didn't even ask for. That's what God says, right? So that's the context. When God gets really excited about what we're asking for, I can guarantee you, and it's easy for me to guarantee you because Jesus is the one doing the guaranteeing, right? He's the one that says, ask whatever you want and in my name, and it will be done for you. And so we have this guarantee from God when we are asking for something that is going to first fill Jesus' heart with joy. Now, there are things in this world that we like to ask for. Things such as fame or prosperity, health or security and so forth. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something, and you may be surprised to hear me say this. There's nothing wrong with all of that stuff. God doesn't have a problem with you earning a good living. Doesn't have a problem with you living well. Doesn't have a problem with people recognizing you on the street. God doesn't have a problem with any of that stuff. But all of those things are fleeting. They're temporary. None of those things are eternal. The things that get God really joyful are the things that impact an eternity. And we have to understand that this life that we're living right here is just the preview. We are at the very beginning. And you may feel like you are past the beginning and toward the end. But that's not the case. Because no matter how long we live this earthly life, it is just a vapor in comparison to an eternity. So we are just at the very beginning. We need to understand that we are just starting the journey. No matter how old or young we may feel today, we are just beginning the process. And everything that we could design or desire in our lives right now is all going to be temporary. And you know what? Let's analyze it. If God were to honor your request for that $1 million, you say, oh, that wouldn't be temporary. That would be lasting. It would change generations. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Probably not. You know how many millionaires, that people who won the lottery, are broke a few years later? You know how many millionaires successfully took their millions of dollars to heaven with them? It's all for just a temporary thing, all right? And so we need to understand how God is going to get the glory. Staying connected to Jesus is the guaranteed way to get what we ask for, but there is a detail that we can't miss. It says that we are actually in him when we're asking. And you know what? When we are in Jesus, we are asking for different things. When Jesus is everything to us, you know, when I am complete in Jesus, and I can say this to any single person, when you're complete in Jesus, you're not looking for the spouse that's going to complete you. I'm already in Jesus. When I am in Jesus, I lack no good thing. When I am in Jesus, I have absolute confidence that he has my steps ordered. And when I'm in Jesus, he's the one that opens the doors that need to be opened, and he closes the doors that I don't want to walk through. When I'm in Jesus and I trust Jesus, everything about my life changes, and so what I'm asking for is also going to change. And we need to understand that. So Jesus connects this idea with the fact that we will have God be glorified in what we ask for. Here's all the context that we've talked about. He says that you're in me, you're obeying me, and God is going to be glorified when you are asking and you're going to get what you're asking for. So the question that we already answered, God doesn't necessarily get the glory when you tithe out that $1 million. It's a way of manipulating. and trying to convince God. But there are many of us who we've prayed for certain things. And you say, maybe it's not so selfish. Pastor, I prayed for my family member to be healed. And God would have got the glory. Everyone would have heard the testimony, would have been dancing around in the streets, shouting praises and so forth. God would have got the glory. And he didn't do what I asked for. Well, stick with me. We're going to get to what brings God the glory. So what is it that God really wants from us? He wants us, and there's the context here. He says he's glorified when we bear fruit and when we bear a lot of it. That's what glorifies God. The thing that glorifies God isn't necessarily when this person jumps up and down. And that, see, for sure, we'll glorify God. We just glorified God when the worship team was up here and we were singing our songs and we were glorifying him. But you know what happened? We stopped singing. When we talk about bringing glory to God, we're talking about a life, not an event. Something that will bring glory and shine for the glory of God always. And I'm going to tell you what that is in just a moment. God, without a doubt, knows the condition of your heart. How many can say amen to that? How many also know that you don't know the condition of the heart of the person sitting next to you? You can guess, but you can't. You don't have this special machine to look into their heart and say, oh, I see that dark corner in there. Right? We can't do that. That's why Jesus comes along in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 15. He says, watch out for false prophets. Well, how do you know that a prophet is a false prophet? That's important. Because you can't watch out for something that you don't see coming. And if all we have is the condition of the heart, which God sees, God knows the false prophet before they're even a false prophet because he knows the condition of their heart. But Jesus is going to talk to us and he's telling us as humans how we can watch out for that false prophet. And so he says, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. On the outside, they look good. They know the right songs. They know how to raise their hands in worship. They know how to talk. They even quote scripture. The false ones even know that Jesus says, ask whatever you want in my name. They can quote it. You know what? Big deal. The devil quoted scripture to Jesus. It's not hard to quote scripture. And so Jesus says, they look good on the outside, but on the inside. How are we going to be able to tell the inside then? If they're wolves on the inside, Jesus, help us. Well, he goes on. He says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you, not Jesus, not God, he knew before any fruit was formed. You, human beings, will know them by their fruit. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Now, fruit was an important detail for Jesus. We have occasions in which Jesus talks about fruit apart from this one. In one moment, he was actually on his way to Jerusalem, and he's walking along the road, and he sees in a distance a fig tree. And he goes to get some fruit because he's looking for fruit. You know the story. And when he gets there, he finds nothing but leaves. And he curses the fig tree because there was no fruit. He couldn't eat anything. And what happens? The disciples hear it, and then when they're coming back that same afternoon, they're surprised. And Peter says, look, Master, the fig tree that you cursed, it's withered from the roots. And Jesus is like, that's nature. Why are you surprised about this? Because the fact is that fruit is always something that God is looking for. Why? Because good fruit will bring him glory, and bad fruit shows that the condition of your heart. And so when we're talking about asking for something that will bring God the glory, God will be glorified in our lives when we bear fruit, because that's the only way that others will see our lives and glorify God. They can't see your heart, but they can see the fruit that your life produces. And so this is what Jesus is talking about. Good or bad, the world knows us by our fruit. And that's what Jesus is saying here when he talks to us and tells us to ask whatever we want. God knows that our fruit is going to be good because he knows our heart and he knows what's going to happen. But God is the one that is going to therefore start producing that fruit in our lives. This text then is talking about what we're asking for in our life. Why? Because we're asking for, according to the context, something that's going to glorify God. And when God, and when we do that, Jesus says, you will always get what you're asking for. Now, that's the question. What are we praying for that's going to glorify God? Well, you can't talk about fruit without finding our way to Galatians chapter 5, right? Galatians chapter 5 has the fruit of the Spirit. And it says in verse 22, and by the way, verse 22 follows verses where the fruit of wickedness, the fruit of being of a bad heart is there as well. So you know there's fruit on both sides, right? Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, in verse 24 it says, they are remaining in him. And then he goes on, he says, since we live by the Spirit, doesn't that sound like remaining in him too? Let us keep in step with the Spirit. So they're linked together in context. And so God has never responded to a person who comes and says, God, I lack love. Give me more love. I want to be more loving. And day after day, they find themselves on their knees praying for God to give them more love in their life. He's never come along and said, no, I save that for really special people. It's a prayer that God always answers. Jesus guarantees it because that fruit. Now, if you're a person that is naturally, and you know, you say, God made me this way. I'm naturally an angry person. Well, God still wants you to develop some fruit of the Spirit. You know, there are some people that have this aversion to praying for, and if you list out that fruit, you come across very quickly the fourth one in patience. And everyone in church knows you don't pray for patience. No, because that means you're going to have all kinds of things to try your patience. Don't pray for that. Well, wait a second. If I'm an impatient person and my best friend when I am driving my vehicle is my horn because I'm impatient, you think that this song brings glory to God? Ong, 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 ong. I don't think so, you know? And Jesus is saying that the context here is that you're going to ask for something that's going to glorify him. You know what? If you pray for patience and you end up suffering as a result of it, praise the Lord. You just found out something. Jesus answers prayer every time. That's what Jesus is talking about. So the church needs to learn through this coming year when you have your prayer time that we need to make habit of praying for fruit. Excuse me. God has never made the promise that he's going to make you wealthy. He's never made the promise that you're going to always walk in perfect health. He's not making you the promise that you're going to get what you ask for when you stand in line at the store and they say, that was the last one. We don't have any more. God's not going to all of a sudden just drop one out of heaven and say, here you go, I found another one for you. Now, there are times when miraculous things happen and you say, oh, I wish that could be repeated. But there's not a recipe for that. It's just God operating in a supernatural, sovereign way. But what we're talking about is how we systematically decide to bring glory to God. And when we decide that that is our highest calling, that that's what we want more than the $1 million, than the good health, than this relationship, or whatever it is that we may be praying for. And by the way, I'm not saying don't pray for those things. I travel a great deal, and every time I leave, I pray, God, protect me as I travel. Let me have the right words to say when I get there and so forth. And you know what? It's going to end that day. It's very temporal. It doesn't mean that I'm not praying it. But we have to make sure that we're adding this, and we need to start looking at our fruit. And sometimes we even need to ask the people in our lives around us, what do you see that I lack the most? And if they say, you know what? You seem like you're always sad. Well, guess what? Joy is a fruit. If they tell you, boy, you sure do get angry easy. Well, we better start developing some of that patience. If they tell you that you don't really have any empathy for people, well, we start to understand what is happening here. And we say, God, you know what? The people are seeing this other side of the fruit. And I want to bring you glory. And so we begin our day after day, interceding. And this list that Paul gives us, although not complete, not all-inclusive, it's a great place to start. And we begin to pray through that list. And if you come across something that you don't find plentiful in your life, I will tell you, it will bring God glory when you begin to intercede and we say, God, give me this one item. Paul is sure to remind us in this Galatian text that the fruit is a result of keeping in step with God, that we obey God. While I am loving on God and I want to glorify Him, it gives me all of this energy to be able to keep walking forward. You know what? Sometimes we say, God, just make me happy. Like God's going to suddenly slap us upside the head and change that frown into a smile. And it's because all of a sudden we got hit so hard we're upside down, right? I mean, no, God doesn't do that kind of thing to us. God works in us to be changed and be transformed. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit in us that others can see, and it cannot be duplicated. It's what God does in our lives. Obeying God always helps us bear fruit. When you are steadfast and determined to obey everything God tells you to do, I will tell you, as a natural byproduct, you're going to find fruit of the Spirit developing in your lives. I'm going to give you a couple of prayer points, three of them, that I wrote. So if they're wrong, dismiss them. They're not Bible. This is what I wrote. Okay? First, you could pray like this. God, help me bear fruit. I lack, and no, don't say dot, 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 okay? You fill in the blank. I lack patience. God, I lack compassion, forbearance. I lack love. I lack, you say, no, I don't lack love. I love everybody that loves me. Jesus said, you know, no greater love is this than one who lays down his life for a friend, and that we love our enemies. Jesus goes on and talks a lot about love. If you don't have that kind of love, it's a good place to start. Paul put it in front of the list. And so we pray, God, help me bear fruit. I lack this thing, but I need it to glorify you, because our goal is to glorify God, right? Second item or second point I put up here, God, help me obey your commands passionately out of a sincere love for you. You know, there's people who obey, and they do it kicking and screaming. Let's not obey like Jonah. You know, I'm forced to be here, and I got we passionate pray like that, because that's what causes everybody to see the fruit in your life, and God gets the glory. Another prayer: God, help me to always show that I'm your friend, because I always do what you say. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to count you as my friend. How many say being Jesus' friend is a goal of mine? I want him to recognize me on the street. I want to be a friend to Jesus. It's easy to pray for health and basic needs or family, even finances or work issues. But praying that we be fruitful is the only thing that Jesus says is guaranteed that you're going to get what you're asking for. And so we need to stick to that. We need to pray. I'm not saying we don't pray for the other things, but I'm saying that we cannot omit that. There are a lot of people who find themselves a decade older every 10 years in Christ and not a decade worth of fruit growing in their lives. Why? Because they never tried. They didn't pray for it. They just wandered through life and said, God didn't do what I asked for again. And God is saying, ask me for what is going to bring me glory. Ask me that you be more loving, more joyful, that you have peace in the middle of the storm. Ask me for that patience that you're afraid to ask for. Ask him for these things, because in so doing, everybody is going to say, oh, God is good, and God is going to get the glory. So what's your chief goal this year? What are you praying for? What's your goal? Well, there's a lot of things that you could say. I want to do this year. I want to accomplish this. And you know, great. But in the end, isn't bringing God glory always going to be our chief goal as believers? The thing that we want most? You may say, oh, I started off this year with the New Year's resolution that I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat more healthy. I'm going to exercise more. Nothing wrong with any of those things. I don't have a problem, and God won't even criticize you for eating more healthy. Paul actually says that physical exercise is of some help. Doesn't disqualify it. But what is the chief thing that you want to get this year? And what brings God glory is that you be more fruitful. Now, think about that. What does that mean? That you analyze the amount of fruit that you produced last year. And you say, I want more fruit. I'll give you an example. Last year, in this church, we saw 5 people baptized in water. You know what? If we were more fruitful, it'll mean that we have more people this year come to know Christ. There's a lot of places that they just want to transfer church from church to church and get Christians from other places. We're not into that. We're going to win the lost. We're going to disciple them. And in the process, we're going to see they want to obey God, right? And so if that was the fruit last year, and God wants us to bear much fruit, and I'm praying, and the staff is praying, and the church is praying that we're more fruitful. Well, if at the end of the year we say, oh, we forgot to do baptism services. Was that really our prayer? Or was it look impressive? Because looking impressive, while it may impress all of the world, never impresses God. When we are more fruitful, when we desire to bear much fruit, Jesus says, guess what? That gives me great joy. And your joy will be complete when Jesus' joy jumps into you. When you get joyful about the things that Jesus gets joyful about. That's the context that Jesus shared all of this in John chapter 15. So I have decided this year, for me personally, I want to make Jesus happy. I'm going to bear more fruit. As pastor of the church, I'm also deciding. We want the same thing as a church, as a corporate body, a body of believers before God. And I want to encourage you to do the same. That you begin this next day and weeks and months and throughout this year, and you intercede. And you say, God, make me more fruitful. I want to bear more fruit so that you get the glory. And God will, I promise you, honor that prayer, because it's a prayer that Jesus says you will get what you're praying for. Amen? Lord, thank you for putting in our hearts the desire to bear much fruit. I pray for my brothers and sisters that this would be the most fruitful year of their lives. Some may be saying that they were slowing down, but we're not slowing down. We're just getting started. We're at the very beginning of this great walk with you that's going to culminate in heaven, celebrating with you all the days of our lives. And so, Lord, we want to bring you glory, bearing much fruit throughout our life. And this is a good year to start. So every day we're going to include it as part of our prayer time, that we would bear more fruit. Help us, Lord, to be fruitful for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So go use the recipe. We're dismissed. God bless you. See you on Wednesday at Bible study.